back to basics today, and we're going to discover some basics from God's Word, and really kind of we're going to talk about salvation and then living the life that God wants us to lead and to live from basic principles. Let's just start. How many of you know right now that you're saved? You see, there. How many of you get? I say, you know, I. How many are working on it? And how many of you like, just don't know. Maybe, right? So, what I want to do is I want to start with who did Jesus come for? Did he come for the rich? Did he come for the wealthy? Who did Jesus come for? He came for everyone. He came from the sinners. I mean, he made a connection with everybody, right? It wasn't just the smart. It wasn't just the rich. It wasn't the gifted. Jesus came for everyone. So the plan of salvation has to be simple. Really, really simple. It can't be complicated. And otherwise, like some of us who haven't figured it out or take longer than others to figure out wouldn't be saved, and that wouldn't be right, right? I mean, that's because it's not about it's not a question about smarts. It's a question of do you accept the gift that God gives you today, right? And I'm ashamed of it took me forever to figure this one out. But I wanted to come up here and just make sure that we all are on the same page because it took me so long. It's just embarrassing. But anyway, so the purpose of salvation isn't to see how smart we are. It's not a contest. It's not like the ACTs or the IQ tests that you do. It's about the choice, our choice, my choice to follow Jesus. Do I choose to follow him or not? So it's got to be simple. Simple enough that the beggar in India who doesn't have an inch of schooling sitting beside the road, that person can figure it out. Right? Anyone can figure it out. That's how simple this has to be. So the Bible says, and as I said earlier, for years I was blind to the simplicity of this thing because it's got to be super simple. It's got to be easy. And the Bible says, I mean, we all know that in Romans 6, is the wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned, so we all deserve death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What is the solution? Okay, the solution is the gift that God gives us. And he spells it out in such precise detail. John 3:16, we've all seen it, read it. I want to read it again just because. So I'm going to look up John 3:16 right here. This is Jesus talking again to Nicodemus. A lot of you are familiar with this. And Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," meaning Jesus, "so that everyone who believes in him," in Jesus, "everyone who just believes in him will not perish but have eternal life," won't die but be saved, have eternal life. And you say, okay, well, all right, well, what does believe mean? I mean, that could be a stacked deck there, right? Anyone who believes in Jesus, because that is where the rubber meets the road, right there. So I actually went back and I looked at it. It's the Greek on this, anyone cares, is pistuo. Is the name believe. And the meaning of that is have faith in, commit one's spiritual life to, or the well-being to, and put trust in. So if we put our trust in Jesus, we say Jesus is the one for me. He's the one I'm going to commit to. What happens then? What happens then if I do that? I won't perish, but I have eternal life. Oh. Now that's simple. Right? That's simple. I like the simplicity of it all. So Paul explains it in similar terms, and let's look at this verse. Let's look at this verse here, Ephesians 2, verses 8. And if you want to flip to that, you may. God loved you by his grace when you believed. I hear the pages turning, so I'll slow down here. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Here's that word believe again. God saved you by his grace. What is grace? Anyone? What's grace? Just shout it out. Unmerited favor. What's that? That's right. A gift that we didn't deserve. Unmerited favor. It's just so he's giving it to us. Okay? You can't take credit for this. I can't say, yeah, I earned it. Whatever. It's a gift of God. So, implying that all we have to do is just accept the gift. So we're actually going to spend a little bit of time in Romans, because Romans is kind of a cool book. So let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. This is the letter that Paul wrote to the people in Rome. And we're going to start. This is kind of what we read earlier today. Romans 1:8-1 says, "So there is no condemnation for those in Christ who belong to or in Christ Jesus." Well, what does that exactly mean? Well, those in Christ Jesus, that's kind of in is what it sounds like. It's the people who are committed to, once again, people who are, that's a preposition in the Greek. It's very simple. It's just in is in. So it denotes position. What is the position of this person? Well, you're in this case, is that we are in Christ. We have become part of Christ. How do we do that? By, earlier we read in John 3:16, by accepting the gift, we become part of God's family. We become in Christ at that point. So Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation. What is condemnation? No criticism, no reproach, no judgment, no problem with, okay, with those, according to Christ. He says there's no problem with anybody who is within me, within Christ. So if we accept his gift, Romans is pretty clear. We're in Christ. We're good. Is that simple? It's simple. It's easy to understand. I mean, the beggar in India can figure this one out, right? It's easy, and that's what salvation is. Once we accept Christ, we are in Christ. We're in. It's simple, direct, open, shut and open, shut case, right? Yeah. But how do I keep right with God? Because I have stuff in my life. And we all have stuff. How many of you have stuff in your life that you're not proud of, that you wish would go away, that you've been working on? Okay, I got stuff in my life. Okay, each one of us have stuff. We all have stuff in our lives. Now, I heard this from a sermon about 3 weeks ago at UCA. And this just really, for me, really made and I mentioned this in Sabbath School last week, but Jesus is interested in relationship and forgiveness, not laws and condemnation or punishment. He's interested in that relationship. He wants us to accept that gift. He wants to give us forgiveness. So Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to who? Right? There's no problem with anybody who is in Christ, those in Christ. So, how can I be in Christ? It means I've got to clean up my life and be walking with Jesus, right? Right? He's got to clean up my... No, that's how I used to think. And it's embarrassing how long it took me to figure it out. See? I remember I've been working on a few issues, working hard for years. And as long as I was pushing and working on my issues, it seemed like I was going in circles. I was frustrated. I got angry for my lack of progress. I remember one Friday night, I just had it. done. Just done. You know? I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm just done with this whole thing. Can't take it no more. God, if you want this thing fixed in me, you got to do it, because can't do it. Done. Have you ever had the still small voice talking to you? Still small voice of God talk to you? I got the still small voice action that night. I got the still small voice in my ear. It's about time you got out of the way. Now I can go to work. Okay? It's not about, as long as I'm working on things and taking credit for my progress, there's no room for the gift of God. I don't need Jesus' sacrifice. I can do it on my own. I just got to work harder. Okay? But when I focus on my stuff, I was focusing on my actions. But is that what I need? No, I need something much deeper. Let's look up Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:26. I need something more than just helping me with my actions. And this is a promise that God gives his people. It says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put in a new spirit in you. I will take your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. I need God to change me from inside, to change my mind from inside, not to just change my actions. The action isn't the sin, per se. It's the thought process that happens before the action that's the problem with me. And if you want an example, Matthew 5, we'll flip over to Matthew, we're going all over the Bible today. Matthew 5:27-28. You have heard the command that says, you must not commit adultery. That's the action, right? That's the action. But what does Jesus say? But I say, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery in his heart. Right? It's what's happening up here before the action that matters. It's not just the action. So I don't need it. I need something that comes before my action to help me. So it's not me working hard to change my actions that matters. I need help with my thought process. I need a God that can change me from inside my thick head. So, who can change me from inside? Let's go back to Romans, because that's kind of where we're kind of based out of today. Ezekiel and Matthew and everything else notwithstanding. So Romans 8 and verses 5 to 8, I'm going to kind of split them all up and kind of put them together, because he's comparing the sinful man with the life filled with the Holy Spirit. He's kind of going back and forth between the two. And so what I did is I just took the statements from the sinful man and put them together, and it just helps me kind of, the stacking the statements helped me. So I don't know, maybe it helps you. So Romans 5 to 8, if you stack all the sinful man statements together, it says, those who are dominated by sinful things, letting their sinful nature control their mind, leads to death. For sinful nature is hostile to God and can never please God. Now if I stack all the, so you can see there, it kind of goes along with the Romans 6 where it says the wages of sin is death, and we really don't have a lot of, I mean, we're kind of in trouble. But if we let God control us, if we ask the Holy Spirit to control us, if we ask Jesus to control our lives, stacking this, the Holy Spirit statements together goes like this. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Anyone have that? The Holy Spirit controls your mind. What does it lead to? It leads to a life of peace. How many of you want peace in your life? I mean, you can deal with a lot of stuff if you have peace in your heart and peace in your life. You can deal with stress, anxiety, everything, if you have peace in your heart. Peace in your heart is everything. That's right. Who can change me from inside? The Holy Spirit. And how is that done? By me inviting the Holy Spirit, Jesus, into my life and have me changed from inside. So verse 9 now says, you are controlled by the Holy Spirit if the Spirit is living within you. And if you've invited him in, he's living within you. Well, all right, I need some practical application here. How do you do this, right? Well, this is how you do it. Identify some stuff in your life that you've been working on for a while. And we all have some stuff somewhere like that. We don't really want to give it up that badly, and we really have it there. But we got to be honest, right? I don't want this stuff in my life. God has kind of put it on my heart, says this isn't stuff that's good. I need to get rid of it. So how do we do that? Well, tell God that you're done working on it. And since I've been a total failure on this, okay, I'm just gonna, I've been a total failure with it anyway. I might as well let God take it. So if he wants it, he's got it, and the honor is his. Please do the honors. Every day that this problem continues to come up, you just remind God that it's here, and he's pricking my conscience about it, and Lord, I'm giving it back to you today. It's yours. Please take it away. You know that I'm helpless with this anyway. So if you want it gone, you're going to need to remove it. You've got to do it. It's yours. It's not mine. Okay? Do you know how liberating that is? That is super liberating. I can say by personal experience, I can have peace that God has saved me, and that he is responsible for the stuff that I have given him. I mean, that is just, whew, feels really good. As God completes his work in my life, I can rest and have peace knowing that he has my life, all of it, and all my stuff in his hands. That is what I call living by the Spirit. So let's, and through the power of the Spirit, let's go to Romans 8, 12 to 14. That's just down a little bit here. I like this. This kind of sums it up here. So it's therefore, I hear Bibles continue to go here, so I'm going to wait just a little bit here. So Romans 8, 12 to 14. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. Right? There's that sin. If the sin is in our lives and we don't do anything about it, it's gonna do a number on us. But if through the power of the Spirit, how do we do that? We give this stuff to God. We give this stuff to Jesus. If we do that, then we will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. This is the gift of God to you, and you are children of God. Therefore, there is no works. There is no works from me here. Only the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. The only thing I am doing is letting the Spirit can take my stuff away. Controlling my life by taking that the bad stuff away. So if I live by the Spirit, is everything going to be perfect? No, Philippians 1:6 is pretty clear. But, you know, this is a process. It's a process of bringing my stuff to Jesus every day and having him take it away. It's a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. And in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this, that he, or Christ, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion, right? You will carry it on to completion in me. It may not be in this life, but certainly when the day of Christ Jesus comes, when Christ comes for me, either through death or the second coming, when Christ comes for me, he's going to complete the work. In the meantime, though, I lay my stuff at his feet every day. And this is every day, this is called walking in the Spirit. So, let's review. Let's review here a little bit. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Are you saved? Yes. We're keeping it simple. John 3:16. That's it, right? Now, how do I walk with the Spirit? Okay, that's the relationship with Jesus every day. Giving Jesus my bad stuff, having him transform me from within. Okay, that's simple, that's direct, that's the gospel. Not working to change myself, but letting God transform me from inside on his timetable. Okay, how many of you have been a little frustrated? Come on, God, take care of this, right? Come on. Well, guess what? That's not his timetable necessarily. That's my timetable. But God will do it in his time. Remember, we sing that in his time. We sing that song. Jesus makes all things new in his time. He's the one to do it. So we're keeping it simple now. Romans 8, 1 and 2. So now there is no condemnation, meaning accusation. There's no bad stuff associated with those who belong to Jesus Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from sin and death. Let's put it into practice. How many of you have stuff today that you want to get rid of? Okay, so we're gonna give this a little test run. Okay, I have stuff in my life, okay, that I want to get rid of, and you don't have. This is not a share and tell. Okay, this is just within yourself, and we're gonna pray today, and we're gonna ask God to take that away. It's gonna give it to him today. We're gonna walk in the Spirit today. We're gonna walk in the Spirit today. If you haven't asked Jesus to come into your life before, you know that's easy too. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I want to be in your kingdom. That's it. That's so easy. It has to be that simple, though, right? Yeah. So let's pray and give God our stuff. Okay? Let's all pray together and pray in your minds, and then we'll give that. And then every day from here on out, if you wake up in the morning and go, oh, that's still there. I would back in the day, start working on it, you know. No, just give it to God again. Okay, give it to God again. Give it to him again. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the gift, your gift, that you came down here so many years ago to save us all from sin. And today, Lord, we have stuff in our lives that we're not proud of. And we know that you've saved us. But we want to walk in the Spirit with you today. And so we give you our stuff, our stuff that we're not proud of, our sinful stuff, our sinful nature. And we ask that you would transform us from the inside. Change our mindset today to live for you. And we know that you'll do it. But we give it to you in your time. We patiently wait for that transforming Spirit to change us from inside today. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a song we're going to sing. And we've heard it. We've sung it before. I'll grab my guitar and we'll play it here too. Thank you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. All right, I think we're ready for our closing song.
Let's stand as we sing Joy to the World. If you're in your hymnal, it's 125.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations grow. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your gift of salvation. Thank you for coming so many years ago as a baby to this little speck of dust in space and paying the price for us. And you've made salvation so simple. Please help us to not muddle it up with our own works and our own efforts, but help us to rest easy in you with the peace that you have given us, free from anxiety and care and fear. Please go with us today in Jesus' name.